4-3, Board of Education of the Vandalia Butler City School District versus the Montgomery County Board of Revision and Timberlake LP. We'll hear from Mr. Gillis first. Oh, I'm sorry, we'll hear from Mr. Petkovic first.
Master Commissioner Gormley, I'd like to save about 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
That'll be fine.
Thank you, sir. If it pleases the board, the matter before the court today involves an 144-unit apartment complex on about 9.215 acres of land located in the Vandalia Butler City School District in Montgomery County, Ohio. For the tax year 2001, the county auditor's mass appraisal company originally put a value on the subject property at $5,994,000. In round numbers, a complaint was filed with the Montgomery County Board of Revision. A hearing was scheduled, and the taxpayer presented income and expense data, rent roll data, and other information to the Board of Revision. The Board of Revision then referred the matter to its own appraisal company and made a determination that the fair market value of the subject property for ad valorem tax purposes for the tax year 2001 was $4,147,200. Subsequent to the issuance of that decision by the Montgomery County Board of Revision, the Appley, in this case, school district, filed a notice of appeal with the Board of Tax Appeals. The Board of Tax Appeals docketed the matter and set the matter for hearing. The Board of Education waived the presentation of evidence at the Board of Tax Appeals level. The Board of Tax Appeals conducted a hearing. The taxpayer, in the interim between the filing of the notice of appeal and the Board of Tax Appeals hearing, contracted the services of a state-licensed real estate appraiser and called him as its only witness, even though the taxpayer was not the appellant in the matter. His opinion of value was about $3,800,000. The appraisal was offered in support of the determination of the Board of Revision. Notwithstanding, the Board of Tax Appeals completely reversed not only the determination of the Board of Revision, but rejected all the evidence presented to it. Now, the issue before this court, in essence, involves what, in my humble perception, is the Board of Tax Appeals acting in a rogue manner. Since 1960, in the Western Industries case, which is cited in the appellant's brief at pages 4 and 5, and also in the Board of Tax Appeals decision at pages 3 or 4, the Supreme Court has set forth certain mandates with regard to the functions of the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals. And the Board of Tax Appeals gave lip service to that, and I'll quote as follows from the Board of Tax Appeals opinion at pages 3 and 4. The Board of Tax Appeals said, "We begin our review of the evidence by noting that the party who asserts a right to an increase or decrease in value of the real property has the burden to prove its right to the value asserted." In support of that, it cites the several decisions of the Supreme Court. They go on to say, "It is not enough, however, simply to come forward with some evidence of value. Neither is it sufficient to grant the requested increase or decrease merely because no evidence is adduced in contradiction to the claim." And they cite Western Industries, the 1960 case. They go on to say, "In short, there's a burden of persuasion that rests with the appellant. And I underscore the word appellant because the appellant in this instance was a school board that presented no evidence. To convince this board that the appellant is entitled to the value which it seeks." They go on, and citation omitted, says, "Once the appellant presents competent and probative evidence of value, the other parties asserting a different value have the corresponding burden of proving evidence which rebuts the appellant's evidence of value." And they cite a Supreme Court decision, Springfield Local Board of Education versus Summit County. Now, in this particular instance, the Board of Revision, which is composed statutorily of the county auditor, county treasurer, and chairman of the county commissioners, in the exercise of their statutory duty, conducted a hearing, referred the matter to their appraisal consultants, and came up with an independent determination of value. It was not the value contended by the taxpayer, but it was its own independent value. That determination of those public officials, which was exercised in good faith, was appealed by the school board to the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals. Now, the Board of Tax Appeals at that juncture, pursuant to that mandate, which they give lip service to at page 3 of their decision, had the function of holding a hearing and making a determination with regard to the evidence produced contrary to the determination of the Board of Revision.
Counsel, assuming that the BTA did not agree with your expert, what, in your view, should have happened?
Well, since there was no evidence produced by the appellant, which in this instance was the school board, then the act of the public officials, which was done in the exercise of good faith and pursuant to their statutory obligations, should have been affirmed. There was no evidence adduced contrary to that independent determination of the Board of Revision. And this seems to be the only forum where our form of jurisprudence allows somebody to win a case without presenting any evidence. As far as I'm concerned, this is a derelict determination of the Board of Revision, or the Board of Tax Appeals. I think they acted in a rogue manner. You know, here you have public officials that exercised good faith. And it would seem to me that if you're going to overturn a determination of a public body exercising quasi-judicial jurisdiction, and it's necessary to show one or two things, Mr. Gormley, you either have to show that those actions of the public officials were not exercised in good faith, or in this instance where it involves evaluation of real estate, you have to produce evidence with regard to the value you contend to be correct. Now, here's a situation where the county auditor sits on the Board of Revision and voted himself to change the value. Yet the Board of Tax Appeals, in their own infinite wisdom, threw out not only the evidence produced by the taxpayer, there was none ever produced by the appellant in that case, they threw out the determination of the Board of Revision when the auditor himself, who placed the initial value on the property, voted to change it. What form of jurisprudence is that where you change things without any evidence?
You don't disagree, I take it, that the BTA is entitled to come up with whatever value they think proper. You just think in this case there wasn't sufficient evidence to support the number they reached. Is that right?
Well, the Board of Tax Appeals has to base a determination on some form of evidence.
Sure.
Okay. If there is no evidence, then it would seem to me that the court's direction would be that you affirm the Board of Revision. If you have this mandatory burden of persuasion as an appellant to present evidence in support of your claim, if there is no evidence in support of that claim, then the action appealed should be affirmed.
Even if they find that looking at all the evidence before them, the number produced by the auditor originally is a better number than the Board of Revision's number.
The problem is that our General Assembly, a long time ago, saw fit to create what they call Board of Revision. It's composed of the county auditor, the county treasurer, and the chairman of the county commissioners, none of which have to be judges, lawyers, or appraisers. They are public officials who are empowered by law to hold what they call Board of Revision. This Board of Revision takes evidence from common citizens, whether it's commercial property or homeowners or whatever, and tries its best to form or fashion some type of determination with regard to the issue at hand. In this particular instance, they didn't adopt the valuation that the taxpayer put before them. They referred it to their own county appraiser who came up with this independent determination. Now, sadly to say, the county didn't represent itself, nor was there an appearance entered at the Board of Tax Appeals on behalf of the county, nor in these proceedings here. But the fact of the matter is that you have a lawful determination. That determination was appealed to the Ohio Supreme Court under Chapter 5717. And this court has repeatedly said that the person filing an appeal from a determination of the Board of Revision has this mandatory duty to produce evidence in support of its claim. Absent any evidence to its claim, the action of those public officials should be adopted. You know, we have this unique philosophy of the Board of Tax Appeals with regard to their level of jurisprudence that, first of all, they conclude they can't make a decision on what's before them, and you have a state licensed appraiser that says, well, the value is $3.9 million. The county decided $4.1 million. $47,200, and the county auditor voted to change his original value to that number. So here you have the situation. What burden of proof do you put on a taxpayer that didn't file an appeal to Board of Tax Appeals? You know, what hoops do you have to jump through to satisfy the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals? Okay. And is there a double standard where a taxpayer has certain burdens of proof, and yet an appellant can present no evidence and obtain what it seeks to obtain? And this court was pretty clear, I think, in the cases even the Board of Tax Appeals cites and gives lip service to, where this court says you have this mandatory duty to present some evidence in support of your claim. Absent that, I think you leave things where they are. And that would be what was appealed. So, you know, as far as I can see, Mr. Gormley, it's a pretty elemental issue before this court. Absent any evidence that those acts of the public officials were not taken in good faith or done in good faith, or extraneous to any statute that governs their actions, or in absence of any evidence specifically in support of the claim of the appellant in that case, then you have to adopt the determination that was appealed.
Have any of the cases talked about the role of cross-examination in terms of meeting the burden of proof?
From the Board of Tax Appeals?
At the Board of Tax Appeals.
Well, quite honestly, I started working there in 1971, I believe it was. In the last 5-6 years, I've seen more ad hoc decisions that contradict each other, so I don't really know, and I read them all off the internet. They're pretty ad hoc and they're pretty contradictory at times. So it's more or less a case-by-case basis. There have been other instances such as this where there's no evidence adduced contrary to the Board of Revision decision, where the Board of Tax Appeals adopts a Board of Revision decision. And there really isn't any distinct pattern in how they're going about what they're doing.
Have any of this court's decisions spoken to the role of cross-examination in terms of meeting burdens of proof at the BTA?
I'm not sure in reviewing that. If there was
anything, I didn't see any
specific,
myself, and I wasn't sure.
I'm not aware of any in the last several years. Well, case in point, what if this taxpayer wouldn't have spent the money to have an independent fee appraiser do an appraisal as an appellee who had no burden of proof until some evidence was produced by the appellant? What if that record was totally silent? Then would the Board of Tax Appeals be empowered to throw out that determination of the Board of Revision, absent a showing of bad faith, or absent a showing that, you know, they didn't conduct their statutory duties in the prescribed manner? I don't think so. I think what's appealed has to be adopted if there's nothing to contradict it. I know of one instance, and it involved Youngstown Sheet and Tube, which was, I have a citation, but that was many, many years ago, where this court ordered the Board of Tax Appeals to make a determination that it refused to make. And that was an instance that said, well, we're unable to make a decision, so therefore we're going to affirm the Board of Revision. So I believe my time is
okay. Up. Okay, you'll have time on rebuttal. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
And Mr. Gillis.
Thank you. Good morning. The appellant misunderstands the BTA's role. The Board of Revision's decision is not entitled to presumption of validity, which apparently is what appellant would have this court rule today. They have ruled directly to the contrary in Amsdell 69 OS 3D 572. Furthermore, the Board of Tax Appeals is required to independently review the evidence contained in the statutory transcript and the evidence presented to it if the BTA has a hearing on the merits. Counsel is correct. The Board of Education did waive the evidentiary hearing. The taxpayer chose to present its own evidence. It was the Board of Education's position then and now that the evidence presented by the appellant at the Board of Revision, who was the original complainant and bore the burden of proof to prove the value of the property, was not substantial and not reliable. The BTA agreed with that. how an appellant at the BTA chooses to meet its burden of proof is its choice. It can demonstrate that the evidence contained in the statutory transcript is unreliable, and therefore the Board of Revision's decision is not supported by that evidence, which is what the Board of Education did in this case. In an apparent recognition of that fact, the taxpayer decided to commission an appraisal, which was, by cross-examination, shown to also be unreliable. There being no other evidence of value in the record, as this court has said, the Board of Revision or the BTA is justified in fixing the value at what the county auditor originally assessed that value at. The fact that the county auditor decided, albeit wrongly, to sign on to a Board of Revision's decision changing that value is frankly irrelevant.
What about this interesting argument this morning that if there had been no witnesses from the appellee at the BTA, then could the BTA have still gone with the auditor's number?
Without question, the BTA's role is to independently weigh the evidence that's contained in the statutory transcript, which is received from the Board of Revision. Had the taxpayer decided not to present any evidence at the Board of Tax Appeals, the hearing would not have occurred. The record would have been submitted to the BTA, and they would have independently, pursuant to their duties, independently weighed that evidence and made a decision de novo. And if the record does not support the Board of Revision's decision, the standard is not whether it's bad faith, it's whether it's unreasonable or unlawful and supported by the record. If it's not supported, and this court even said that in Columbus Board of Education versus Franklin County Board of Revision, otherwise known as the Chester and Soloff case, the record before the BTA and this court, for that matter, must support the valuation that's determined by the underlying tribunal. In this case, the Board of Tax Appeals determined that the record before the Board of Revision, the evidence presented by the complainant, was not reliable. There was no other evidence in the record to support what the Board of Revision decided. And then we moved on to the new evidence, and the BTA, as it is allowed to do and has wide discretion in accepting or rejecting an appraiser's valuation, rejected it. And therefore, there was no other evidence in the record to support any change in valuation. And they were justified, as this court has said, to fix the value of what the county auditor originally appraised the property at.
In your view, if there were no witnesses at the BTA, is the BTA nonetheless empowered to pick a number different from what both the Board of Revision and the auditor came up with?
Based upon the record, yes. Their decision must be based upon the evidence and the record that is presented to it and supported by that. However, if there is no evidence of a different value or the Board of Revision's value, they certainly can't affirm the Board of Revision's value without any evidence to support that number. And I don't think anybody has claimed that there's any evidence in the record to support the Board of Revision's valuation. As counsel just said today, they didn't accept the taxpayer's number. They chose a different one, but there was no evidence in the record to support that figure. The BTA rejected all of the taxpayer's evidence that was presented to the Board of Revision and rejected the evidence that was presented to the Board of Tax Appeals. The appellant here today has never made any claim that the BTA was wrong in rejecting the valuation evidence it presented. It merely says that essentially that the Board of Revision's value is presumed to be correct until proven otherwise, and that is simply contrary to Ohio law. With that, I have nothing further.
All right. Thank you. And Mr. Petkovic, you have a bit under 2 minutes left.
I don't think I'll have to use all that, Master Commissioner Gormley. In rebuttal, I just have several points. Counsel stated that the appellant, in this case the school board, had filed the appeal to the Board of Tax Appeals, had the opportunity to maintain its burden proof in any manner they sought fit. And I wouldn't deny that. But one of the manners in which you cannot maintain that burden of proof is complete and abject silence. And that's what we have here in terms of the school board's position, not only at the county Board of Revision hearing, which it had an opportunity to present evidence, but also at the Board of Tax Appeals on its appeal, which it had the opportunity to present evidence. The other thing is that the Board of Tax Appeals, in looking at determinations of this entity called a Board of Revision, first of all, as I indicated earlier, that this is a quasi-judicial board composed of three public officials. There are no rules of evidence with regard to that, and it was designedly intended by the General Assembly to be that way. It was a forum in which that official that makes the assessment of the property in the first instance, that official which bills the taxes, and that official which is predominantly responsible for the county budgets are people that sit on something called a Board of Revision. And common citizens, in this case all citizens, whether they're corporate or not, have to go there as a first step in this review process. Now, in this instance,
but your expert obviously didn't agree with what they'd done, right?
My expert, well, an opinion of value is simply that. They turned it over to their appraiser. He came in with a number. We had our appraiser came in with a number that was within 8% of the number that the county's guy came in with. The county's original number was $5.9 million, I believe, on review. They changed that number. Our guy was 8% away. The record's silent as to what their opinion of value is, and they're the ones that had the burden of proof.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Mikovic. The case will be submitted to the court for a decision.